coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z. Welcome everybody to this week's episode of the Fade Route with D and Z. I am Z, and we have a huge show for you. We are ordering up the best first baseman in Major League Baseball. We're talking about the attempted coup out in Las Vegas between Tom Brady and the Raiders, and the disappointment that is the Oakland A's, and the potential move to Vegas. Well, as well, there's a lot of Vegas and a lot of Bay Area on this show. But we're going to start with South Beach, the Miami Heat, the Eastern Conference champion, Miami Heat. The Miami Heat blew out the Boston Celtics in Game 7 by 19. Jimmy Butler and Caleb Martin. Yes, Caleb Martin.
That guy.
Not Kevin Love. Kevin Love didn't even DNP, coach's decision. Caleb Martin powered the Heat past the Celtics team that looked spent after battling back from a 3-0 series deficit. I'm guessing all that talk about the 2004 Red Sox was a little premature. Credit to the Heat for surviving, or blame to the Celtics for not closing the deal?
Listen, if you're Boston, what more could you ask for? You got Game 7 at home. And this isn't just any Game 7. This is the Garden. TD Garden. Right? You've got history backing you up, right? Because the Red Sox did this in 04 against the Yankees. And of course, Tommy Terrific came back against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. So you've got everything you asked for. So there's no way that I'm gonna say that this was credit to the Heat. The Celtics had a chance here. And it was awful. I mean, listen, Tatum sprains his ankle on like the first play of the game. All right, whatever. But don't you think, Z, this was a golden opportunity for Jaylen Brown to put on his cape and show everybody, yeah, I'm worth a supermax deal. Oh, Tatum can't play? No problem. I got this, right?
You would think.
That's what you would think, right? Oh, Kareem can't play tonight? No problem. I'll jump center. That's Magic Johnson, who went on to score like 40 points and grab like 20 boards. I mean... I just, like, you, Jaylen Brown had a golden chance to, like, Kawhi Leonard this shit. And he didn't. So, you were the number two seed, right? Mm-hmm. You were down. You found a way to win three games. And that's how you play at home in Game 7. You get blown out by 20 points by an 8 seed that didn't even have one of their best players in Tyler Hero for the whole damn series. Ugh. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. So me, I'm saying, I wouldn't say it was blame the Celtics for not closing the deal. I wouldn't say it's like that, but it's like you had a chance to win this game. Everything you wanted, you got it, and you failed.
The one thing they didn't get was the superstar performance. That's what they didn't get. They didn't get their Larry Bird moment. They didn't get their Kevin McHale. They didn't get their Robert Parrish. They didn't even get their KG or Paul Pierce. Now, the very first play of the game, Jason Tatum rolls his ankle. Kudos to him for finishing the game. You know, because that looked pretty nasty, and you know he was in pain.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but who stepped up? Was it Jaylen Brown? Mr. 8 turnover?
1 for 9 from 3, I think.
Yes. Derek White stepped up, right? And even then, the plus-minus was not great because Tatum on a bad ankle was minus 12. Brown was minus 17. And Derek White was minus 7. Muscala and Cornett were the only two on the positive side of plus-minus, and they played the last 2 minutes of the game. That's the only reason why they were in positive plus-minus, because the Heat took it into the corner. And we're just gonna let the whistle blow. We're just gonna let this go. But, you know,
Malcolm Brogdon, 7 minutes, 0 points.
Yeah, not complete non-factor. The Williamses, complete non-factors. You know,
Marcus Smart, 35 minutes, 9 points.
Yeah, I mean, just not. I mean, you would think, right?
Game was in Miami. You would think they played the game in Miami.
Robert Williams, he was the guy down low, right? He's the guy who's going to neutralize Bam Adebayo. Had 6 rebounds. 6, that's it. Jason Tatum on a bad leg had more rebounds than Robert Williams. So it was a no-show of a performance. It was a complete and utter no-show of a performance from a team that looked like they were exhausted from fighting history. And they looked like they were
Can't get on board with that. See, it's not about them being exhausted. I'm not getting on board with them being tired. I'm not getting on board with that. This was just a failure. You're telling me that if Jaylen Brown was more rested, he wouldn't have had 7 turnovers? Come on. You're telling me that if Marcus Smart didn't win the last 3 games, he would have had more than 9 points in this game? Come on, adrenaline should have got you through everything. Grant Williams, 3 points? Dude, you and I could have went out there and got 3 points.
Okay, let's look at the numbers. 41-36 on a bad angle. 43-05. 36-16. Their bench was very well rested. This falls on... Compare this. Kyle Lowry came off the bench. 24 minutes, 18 seconds. Duncan Robinson played 20 minutes. Like, that's on Mazzulla. That's on the coach. That's on the coach. And he's been maligned all year, all series, for his inability to coach. This is an X and O moment. Hey, my guy can barely walk. Maybe I should play somebody else. Hello? Hello?
Hello, McFly? Hello?
McFly, anybody home? Joe is acting like, you know, he's acting like he doesn't want the job. But there has to be an element of exhaustion there. But it's not an excuse. You were just as tired fighting uphill as you were at the end. You had nothing left. Now, why do you have nothing left? Because maybe they're not as good as we think they are. Maybe, just maybe, Brown and Tatum, this is their ceiling. And many, many ESPN pundits are very quick to say that, okay, you know, like, they're young. They're young. Yes, you can be young, you can develop, but everybody has a ceiling. You reach your ceiling. It's a question of how long it takes you to reach that ceiling. Jaylen Brown is not going to get a 275 max supermax contract. He shouldn't. Like, not based on this performance. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
It's absolutely dreadful. It was an absolutely dreadful performance.
I don't know what anyone could possibly see to say we need to run this back. Like, this team is not built to win championships. And I knew that when they lost the game in Boston to the 76ers. And at that moment, I was like, nah, man, you guys are trash. And, you know, Tatum going spouts in the fourth quarter, he doesn't score any points. It's like, dude, where are you? Go get the basketball. It's just things like that that kind of showed me that this team was just a pretender.
Well, they also made no offensive adjustments. They seemed to run no plays. It was just get the ball, and go to the basket.
Yes, the ball. Well, regardless, now that we have an Eastern Conference finalist, it's time to crown an NBA champ. Well, starting tomorrow, the finals will begin in Denver. The Nuggets are the final boss that await the Miami Heat. But Z, who you got and in how many games?
You have to go with the Nuggets. I'm sorry. As good as Miami has been, who have they run up against that rivals the Nuggets? From top to bottom, right? You have the back-to-back MVP until this year, right? You have Aaron Gordon. You have Jamal Murray. You have KCP. You have Porter Jr. That's a deep and loaded team, right? You have guys on this team, and you're just not equipped for them. Like, we've said it many a time. Who is going to stop Nikola Jokic? Who is going to stop him down low? Bam Adebayo? Not by himself. They're going to have to throw doubles. They're going to have to do what they need to do. But you throw a double at Jokic, Murray's open. Or Gordon is open. Or Porter is open. You open yourself up to a major, major mismatch. Pick your poison. And as good as Miami can be defensively and as well coached as they are with Eric Spoelstra, I can't see them getting more than a game. So I will call, I'm going to call a gentleman's sweep. I'm going to take Denver 4-1. Now, it might tell, this might surprise you, but I have Miami taking game one.
Okay.
I have Miami taking game one because they have not had a week off and because they're still in the rhythm. Kind of like when Allen Iverson and the Sixers threw a scare into the Lakers that time. I definitely see that being the wake-up call for Michael Malone and the Nuggets. It might actually be something that Michael Malone welcomes just so they get that little taste of blood in their mouth. They get smacked around a little bit, and it wakes up the players saying, this isn't going to be easy. This is not going to be a sweep. This is not what you think it's going to be. Wake up and stick to the game plan. But overall, I do have the Nuggets in five. What about you?
Yeah, I've got the Nuggets in five, too. Interesting that you have the Heat winning the first game. Ladies and gentlemen, I am tempted to take the plus 1900 on FanDuel, which has the series ending in five with the Heat winning game two. I might be placing a significant wager on that. And I'm with you. There's just no answer for Jokic. You know, there's, I would assume Michael Porter Jr. is going to guard Jimmy Butler. And, you know, let's also not forget that this is an 8 seed in the East playing a 1 seed in the West. I think a lot of people have forgotten about that. I heard Reggie Miller saying that it could go 6 games. I've heard some other people talk about, you know, it's going to be a close series, it's going to be tight games. It's like, well, guys, let's not forget that this is an 8 seed in the East playing a 1 seed in the West. And I think it's a very different ballgame. I think it's completely different.
Well, you definitely need to take into account that the disparity was there. And kudos to the Heat. They have improved. They were the lowest scoring team in the NBA during the regular season. There is something to be said for that. And the Nuggets were one of the highest scoring teams in the league. So one of the things, right, one of these things has to be true. Either the low scoring Heat are going to shut down or slow down the Nuggets and play, you know, Pat Riley mid-90s slog ball to get them down, or they're going to have to ratchet up their offense to try and run and gun with Jamal Murray, Jokic, Gordon. I don't see it. I just don't see it. And, you know, they need Hero back. they desperately can use him. He'll be back by game three if everything goes right.
Yeah.
But the thing with the down
3-0 though. You'd be down 3-0 and you're begging Tyler Hero, come save us. They're looking for a hero.
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna be down 3-0. I mean, that's a lot. The one thing I will say is you need the Heat are gonna need game 2 and game 7 Jimmy Butler. If they don't get that Jimmy Butler, they're not gonna win any games. So that's the one thing I will say. I'm curious to see how the guards match up. You know, the other thing you got to remember is the Heat have 4 undrafted free agents on their team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't... I'm not saying these guys aren't professional basketball players. They are, but are they as talented as some of the guys on the other side? I don't know. I think coaching-wise, I think Mike Malone's a good coach. Coach Spo is a good coach. So I think that's kind of even. I want to see what the Heat's game plan is. What's the game plan for Jokic? What's the game plan for the Joker? Like, what are you guys going to do with him? How are you guys going to guard Murray? Who's taking Murray? Are we going to be shooting threes? Are we going to be aggressive? I think Kyle Lowry has a chance to be a real X factor in the series. You know, he's such a good defender, and he's such a talented basketball player. And I don't like Kyle Lowry. I don't like him. I don't like his game. I don't like his attitude. I don't like his character. I like nothing about the man. But he's a good basketball player, and he's a good pro. You know, I could see him getting under Jokic, and I could also see him drawing fouls on him. Like, I could see that coming out of it. And, you know, I think Kyle Lowry has a chance to be the X factor in the series.
I mean, that's fair. That's definitely fair. Kyle Lowry has the experience that you need. He has the chip from Toronto. He definitely can help guide the Heat through the rough playoff water and in the deep end that, you know, you might not necessarily have that veteran playoff presence, right? Because the Nuggets have had what? Lots of bad experience. Whereas Kyle Lowry is one of the things we like to call the whole fucking thing.
So,
you know, he definitely can help navigate that. But, yeah, that's a good pick for X Factor. That's definitely a good pick for X Factor. I mean, Kevin Love's got to show up, right? He's another guy. He's got veteran experience. He's got a ring. You know, he's got... He can shoot.
Interesting fact about Kevin Love, if I may share. Every year that he's been in the postseason, he's made it to the NBA Finals.
Huh.
That is pretty cool.
That's wild. That is really impressive. You know, and he looks great in street clothes.
Yeah, I mean, he's struggled to find his shot. I don't know what's going on with him, but I mean, I like him. I like him in that 42 Heat jersey. But
yeah, I mean, let's... you know, Kevin Love, you know, he's definitely going to be a contributor. He's going to have to be.
I don't know.
If you're Spoelstra, you can't plan on Tyler Hero. You can't.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
From the hardwood, let's head over to the ice. Stanley Cup Finals start Saturday. The Vegas Golden Knights beat down the Dallas Stars 6-0 to clinch their spot against the Florida Panthers, who swept out the Hurricanes and kept their Cinderella run alive. Either way, there will be a first-time champ. First time getting the Stanley Cup for one of these cities, and which city will it be?
This is hard.
Before we jump into that, which was a worse loss? Dallas losing at home or the Celtics losing at home? Because that was a pretty badass 6-0. Ooh.
Well, six. It was 4-0 in the first period. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go with the Dallas Stars, just for the simple fact that it was non-competitive.
Just because their fans had to get slapped 4-0 in the first period and sit through two more periods while they get kicked, teeth kicked in some more.
Uh huh.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
I turned it on in the second period. It's like, oh god.
They got blitzed and they didn't know what hit them. So. Like that, there's something to be said for that. And who would have thought, you know, Aiden Hill, you know, not Jonathan Quick, not Brusseau, Aiden Hill. That's the guy. Going to Aiden Hill was the seminal moment here. So was Jamie Benn trying to take Mark Stone's head off. So like that moment as well. But I mean. The firepower, right? The sheer firepower on the Golden Knights. It's formidable. It is absolutely formidable. You have Eichel and William Karlsson. And you still have Jonathan Marchessault. Can I interest you in him? Smith, good player. Mark Stone, good player. The ageless Phil Kessel. There are going to be hot dogs in that if he raises Lord Stanley Cup, there may be queso in it. Like, that's great. But Florida they play a lunch pail style of hockey. And it's something that I particularly enjoy. And it's, you know, I've heard Michael Wilbon talking about this, how, you know, let's not really call them a Cinderella because they were the President's Trophy winners last year.
Yeah.
Yes, while that is true, this team is fundamentally different than it was last year. And that is all because of Matthew Tkachuk. The Matthew Tkachuk trade with Calgary, bringing him and Verhaeghe over, was a huge coup. You know, you got a guy, he's a lunch pail guy, just like his old man. Like, he's tough. He's feisty. He will get under the opponent's skin. And he called game how many times in the last series? Bussin' 10, let's go. Bussin' 10. And that's what Matthew Tkachuk brings to the table. He brings the identity. He brings the grit. And, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau didn't do that. So they traded in a little bit of fancy skill for a little bit of grit. And this is the X factor, right? They had a ceiling. Again, we're going to talk about ceiling. They had a ceiling with that all-skilled team. They brought in a little bit of edge, a little bit of sandpaper, and now they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. As far as who's going to win, I'm putting it out there right now, it's going 7. It's going 7.
So the team that's kind of swept their way to the finals is going to go 7 games with this team.
It's going 7. It is going absolutely 7. Because Vegas can stand toe-to-toe with them. Florida, they can take a hit. They were down against Boston. They were down against the best team in the league. The record-setting generational team. Who won? Not the record-setting generational team. The Florida Panthers did. So they can take a punch. They've already established that they can. So I got it going to overtime, game 7. All bets are off. I'm going to take the Florida Panthers. I think they can do it. They have the goalie. They have the grit. They have the team. They have a well-rounded team. It's going to be a very well-received Stanley Cup final. Even though it's in the hockey hotbeds of Sunrise, Florida and Las Vegas, Nevada. Like, hockey fans, you are in for
it. Hockey fans!
Hockey fans, I want you to put your hands on the speaker, and I want you to hear me now. You are in for a treat. You know what? While we're at it, basketball fans, put your hands on the speakers. You are going to be in for a treat. The networks may not like it because it's not it's not LeBron. It's not sexy. It's not the sexy picks. It's Denver and Miami. It's Vegas and it's Florida. It's not the original six. It's not, you know, it's not Sidney Crosby. It's not Connor McDavid. But the fans, the real fans of the sport, you are going to be entertained in spades. Who you got?
Listen, I mean, for me, Tkachuk has just been ridiculous. 25-year-old winger, 21 goals in 16 postseason games. Only five teams in the NHL had 111 or more points this season, and the Panthers eliminated three of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you're being very optimistic, saying this thing is going seven. I don't see it going seven. I see it going five, maybe six. I just don't – the Panthers are hot, man. And I kind of agree with Wilbon. This team, I know it's different. They play a little different this year. But they are gelling around the right time, you know. This was one of the best teams in the league last year, you know. And they've seemed to rekindle that toughness. They've seemed to rekindle that fire. And they get up on you. And they go down and they get back up again. They'll go into overtime. That's the other thing. Like, luck is on their side. All the overtime wins, the overtime goals. They beat Boston. They beat Carolina. I mean, I don't think you think the Vegas Golden Knights are as good as Carolina or Boston.
Yes. They were the number one team in the West. They were the number one team in the West. So, yes. So, if they're going to have their, if they have it in them one more time, they're going to have to slay a dragon. That's the one thing. The Florida Panthers are going to have to slay a dragon. It's not going to, you know, Dallas would have been a nice story, but they can't match, and they proved that they couldn't match the firepower of the Vegas Golden Knights. And, you know, we're sleeping on the defense a little bit. We're sleeping on the defense of the Golden Knights, too. Martinez, McNabb, Petrangelo, Theodore, all of these guys have experience in big-time playoff hockey in a thing I like to call the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, Martinez with the Kings. Petrangelo with the St. Louis Blues. Theodore with these very Golden Knights. McNabb with these very Golden Knights. So they definitely have something where the moment isn't going to be too bright for them. Like, that's the one thing we have to be concerned about with, you know, with the Florida Panthers. Like, as it gets closer and closer, does the light begin to shine brighter? And that is where I start to get concerned about Bobrovsky. Officer Bob has been great, but he's had moments in the past when the moment was too big for him. Now, let's see. Let's definitely see. But, you know, the Florida Panthers are on an absolute heater. You cannot deny that. Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their hoodies, snapbacks, graphic tees, accessories, and more. Season 3 merch is up now. Get it while you can. Go to fckclout.com and get all of your needs for men and women. That's fckclout.com. You cannot deny that the Florida Panthers are on an absolute roll. But there are plenty of teams as we transition to Major League Baseball that aren't on a roll. Memorial Day has come and gone. We're at the quarter pole of the season. So who's been the biggest surprise and who's been the biggest disappointment?
All right, so I went a little different with this, right? So I would say the White Sox are by far my biggest disappointment. I just think there's so much talent on their team, and they're just underperforming, and they're just losing winnable games. It's just frustrating to watch. They have so much talent, and I don't understand why they struggle. Now, as far as surprises, I'm going to say Aaron Judge has been a surprise to me. He's on pace to hit 51 home runs. And he's really turned it on in the month of May. I didn't see him being able to play this well again after the historic season he had last year. So I'm kind of surprised to see that he's been able to keep it going. And as far as teams are concerned, I'm really surprised at the Cardinals. I thought they'd be better. I mean, they're Arenado and Goldsmith on the corners. And I feel like pitching's really let them down, and catch, and the catcher situation's a disaster. I gotta think they're gonna turn it on at some point. Tampa. I mean, who's not surprised at Tampa? I mean, come on. Their start to the season, they've cooled off, but man, they score runs and they're young and they're talented. I'm surprised with the Mets. I'm surprised Pete Alonso has 20 home runs. That's pretty impressive. But I'm surprised at the Mets. I thought they would be doing better. So, what do you got?
All right. Here we go. We have to start with the Cardinals. Like, I agree with you that the St. Louis Cardinals have been in a colossal disappointment, considering the fact that both of us picked them at the beginning of the year when we did our division previews. We certainly did not see the bottom falling out. We did not see Marmol fighting with Tyler O'Neill. We didn't see the Wilson Contreras situation coming. None of that. Like, how could you predict that, right? It's the Cardinal way. You know, we anticipate that they'll be able to right the ship. I mean, you want to talk about a surprise. Do you know who is second in the major leagues in ERA?
Second, is it Cole?
Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray is second in the major leagues to Bryce Elder of the Braves. So he is second in the league in ERA. Not the American League, the whole thing. The big one. Can I interest you in who is tied for second in wins with pitchers? Mitch Keller of the Pirates. How about the Pirates? Who would have freaking thought that was going to happen? Especially with when O'Neill Cruz got hurt. Right? You think, okay, we're going in the tank. Nope. We're all right. Nathan Eovaldi, Zach Gallen of the Diamondbacks, and Kyle Gibson of the Orioles. Each have 7, all trailing Shane McClanahan. Shane McClanahan, who's right now in the catbird seat to win the Cy Young. If the season ended today, he would most likely be my Cy Young award pick.
Oh, yeah. He's lights out. I mean, his ERA is up 2, right?
Yep.
I think he's 8-1 or 8-0.
This one pisses me off. The league leader in quality starts, Marcus Stroman of the Chicago Cubs.
He's really good. See, he would be my Cy Young pick. He's been ridiculous this year.
Stroman is pitching like he's had something to prove. He has that one hitter, and, you know, that's just how he is. But from a team standpoint, you have to be disappointed with the Mets. You have to be disappointed with the Phillies. You have to be disappointed with the Cubs. They're in last place. Like, you went out, you got Dansby Swanson. You made fundamental changes. You're 24-31. The Cardinals and Cubs are rounding out the National League Central. And then the Padres are 25-30. Talk all that shit, spend all that money, you know, look at our infield. We have 4 all-star shortstops. Look at us. Only the Rockies are worse than you in your division. Only the Rockies. Surprise. The Baltimore Orioles, 35-21. You know, we thought they'd be good. I didn't think they'd be this good this fast, especially with that rotation. So, and then, you know, the immortal Aaron Hicks joining the fold. We'll get to that later. But I gotta say, in the American League, I'm disappointed in the Blue Jays. Only 3 games over 500. With the talent amassed, they should be a hell of a lot better than they are. The Guardians, agreed. 5 games under 500. They won the division. Like, they should be able to. They were in contention for the division. And the White Sox, you already touched on. But the Guardians, 5 games under? That doesn't sit right with me. And what about the Mariners? Will the real Seattle Mariners please stand up? Was it last year? Or are you what you are? You're 1 game over. You're just 1 game over, and you're trying to find your identity. Right now, you're in 4th place because the Rangers experiment worked. Throwing money at the problem finally worked. Good for the Texas Rangers. They're 16-8 at home. They're actually ahead of the Astros, but this is the early projection, right? It's only May. It's still only May. It hasn't tipped to June yet. We'll get there eventually. But it's, you know, it's getting late early in some of these divisions. And some of these teams are already, like, they are already done and thinking about next year.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
One such team is the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's are beyond disappointing. They're just sad. They're just sad is what they are. They're 12-46. Got that? 12-46.
I think they just took two games from the Braves.
Somehow. Like, I don't understand how that happened. Like, did the Braves, like, feel charitable? You're the resident Braves fan here, so I don't know. They have the lowest payroll in the league. They have the lowest run differential in the league. They have the lowest attendance in the league. They're averaging under 9,000 a game. Got people inciting. You have people inciting the other team because you can hear everything. It's not like they can be drowned out in a crowd. There is no crowd. The plans are for the team to relocate to Vegas. They apparently already have a deal for some land. We are officially living Major League right now. Does Rob Manfred need to intervene at this point?
Oh, good old Rob. Wonder what he's doing tonight. Like I said, they actually took some games from the Braves. It's kind of embarrassing and very odd. I don't know what the hell was going on. I think the Braves just got shut out one of the games.
Oh, Jesus.
I've heard that it's so quiet in the stadium that they can't use PitchCom because you can actually hear the pitch that's coming. That's pretty funny.
The Astros don't even need to bang on a garbage can.
Listen, owners can run the teams however they see fit. I mean, I think Rob Manfred needs to do some other things than worry about what the A's are doing with their team and their payroll. I mean, they're
like what? Threatening the Milwaukee Brewers with relocation if they don't renovate their building? Like it's another story.
That stadium's beautiful. What's wrong with the Brewers stadium? I love that stadium.
Apparently there's been 20 years worth of repairs and renovations that haven't been made. Jeez. And allegedly Major League Baseball's threatening the relocation.
Listen, the Reds were a bad team last year. I mean, you're bound to have some bad teams. I don't think Rob Manfred needs to get involved. I mean, we've seen the Rays be bad, watched the Astros be bad for so long, and then them build a championship team. I don't have a problem with the way that they're playing and who they are. It's fine. It doesn't affect my team in any way. It doesn't affect the outcome of what's going to happen in that division either, right? I mean, they're going to lay down. They're going to lay down. You want to be embarrassed? Be an embarrassment. It's not on the commissioner to levy anything or go after them or try to incite them to compete. They want to be a joke. They'll let them be a joke.
The last time the commissioner got involved was because of Bernie Madoff, right? Like, that was the last major instance where the commissioner of the league intervened on the team's behalf. But also think back to Peter McGowan. You know, Peter McGowan when he owned the Dodgers. I think they were going through a nasty divorce, he and his wife. And the league had to intervene because it was affecting the on-field product. And when all you have is the on-field product here, because, I mean, I don't know much about John Fisher, but I know that he also owns the San Jose Earthquakes of the MLS, and he owns Celtic FC in Scotland, Scottish soccer. So those seem to be okay, right? This may just be his plaything, you know, just to have it. Oh, I see where he got his money from. He's the son of Gap Inc. founder, Donald Fisher and Doris Fisher. So he's so the Gap. Okay, that's fine. That is very fine. But you're fielding a non-competitive team. To what end? You know, what's the end here? To maximize profit? Well, not in Oakland, right? Because they're not coming to see you. I'm sure nobody's coming to see you on the road. I, for one, last year, I took my fiance to the Yankee game. It was Yankees A's. I was intrigued by the A's last year. This year, no. Not even if they offered like dollar seats, I wouldn't. Like, we'll pay you. I don't know. Like, you have barely some major leaguers on this team. And then you have some maybe quadruple A players. Maybe. But if the idea is that we're going to bottom this team out, get our land deal in Vegas, and then flood the team with stars, I can understand that. Because they tried that with Miami, right? Because when the Marlins got their new ballpark, they flooded their team with stars. They brought in Burley. They brought in Jose Reyes. Like, they got Ozzie Guillen. They tried to make something happen. And I don't know. Like, over the years, he got rid of Chapman. He got rid of Murphy. He got rid of Olsen. You stripped away. You let Canna go in free agency. You just kind of stripped away all of the good that was on this team, and you replaced them with ho-hum. Like, Trevor May, you're probably going to flip at the deadline. Fujinami, I don't know if Fujinami's any good. They just brought back Paul Blackburn. He was decent.
Fujinami.
We'll see. But they got a couple of pitchers from the Yankees that they apparently like a lot. They got Longoliers from the Braves in the Sean Murphy trade. Like, they like him a lot. So there's a few pieces of young, workable talent. And then the rest is just kind of like filling out the roster, because you need to fill out the roster. Now, there's been plenty of acrimony between Oakland and its sports teams, right? The Warriors said goodbye. The Raiders said goodbye. Now the A's are going to say goodbye. Right? There's a lot of smoke there. So while I do feel bad for the fans of Oakland, the city of Oakland, not so much. You kind of had the opportunity to make this happen. But the owner doesn't want to work with you. You don't want to work with him. And it seems like this is destined to fall apart. Rob Manfred, I don't know what authority Rob Manfred has here at this point. Because what's he going to say? Don't go to Las Vegas. Don't do that. Don't put a team in a really glamour-filled environment. Don't do that. Don't put eyeballs there. We don't want that. It's like that scene in Willy Wonka when Gene Wilder's trying to get the kids to stop. No. Don't do
stop.
That.
Don't come back.
Stop. Don't. No. No. You're being handed a Major League Baseball franchise in Las Vegas. he's not going to say, he's not going to chasten them. He's not going to do anything about this because Major League Baseball is going to benefit. And if Oakland can rework their Coliseum situation, because the Coliseum's a dump, how many more times does the pipe need to burst, right? How many more times does raw sewage need to fill? How many more roaches do you need to see? How many times do you need to not sell out Mount Davis? Get a new ballpark. The city of Oakland needs to work with either the A's, if they're staying at some point, if the deal falls through with Vegas, they need a new ballpark. Or if they get an expansion team, they need a new ballpark. Bottom line is, you need a new ballpark out in Oakland if you want to attract or keep a major league franchise. I don't foresee that happening, especially since Nashville's on the list, Charlotte is on the list, Portland, Oregon is on the list, Montreal is on the list. You have franchises waiting in the wings, and it seems like Oakland, you know, is down to its last strike, and they might have just struck out on this one. It's sad for the fans. It's absolutely sad for the fans. The Oakland A's have had a historic run. They've had a legacy out in the Bay Area, but it looks like it's all crashing down, and there's really nothing that Rob Manfred can do about it. And frankly, he probably doesn't want to anymore.
Want to get in on the action? We want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast. Drop us a DM on Twitter @faderoutednz. Comment on our YouTube channel, The Fade Route with DNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it, we want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd. Time for the mail route on the Fade Route. If you want to get featured, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in those DMs @faderoutepodcast on IG, or drop us a line on our Twitter page @faderoutednz.
All right, boys and girls, we have a full mailbox today. And if you want to get in on the action and you want to submit some questions for us, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. And maybe, just maybe, we will read your question on the air. Email number one comes from Sarah in Las Vegas, Nevada. Told you, it's a big time destination. Hey guys, quick question. We know how much you love Tom Brady, so what's the bigger Raider news? His minority ownership stake or Jimmy G's foot injury clause?
The Jimmy G things get weirder and weirder. It's supposed to be a cleanup, but now it seems like there was like a Liz Frank injury in there. I mean, is there a seat hotter in the NFL than the Las Vegas head coaching job? Who's going to play quarterback next season? Brian Hoyer? I mean, if Brady came back to play for the Raiders, would his salary be counted under the salary cap, or does it get covered into management expenses? I think the Jimmy G news is crazy, and I think that is the bigger story.
Well, the thing with the ownership stake is that if Tom Brady's not fully retired, he's not going to be accepted as a minority owner. So it's one of those things that, you know, it's cool on paper, but it's not going to happen until he officially files that paperwork. With the Jimmy G foot injury, this guy just can't catch a break. No, that's the problem. Everything breaks. I misspoke. Everything breaks on Jimmy G. The man's made of glass, especially like his feet. But it's so weird that this was written into the contract. It's almost as if they knew that something bad was going to happen to one James Garoppolo. And frankly, it's hard not to think that way, because how many years has he played and how many years has Jimmy gotten hurt? So the weird thing is that this foot injury could somehow pave the way for Tom Brady to be on the Raiders and be the quarterback for the Raiders next year. Like, that would be absolutely friggin' insane. But the ownership thing, like, we can put that on the back burner at least for a little while, because if Brady has the itch and Brady comes back, like, that, those talks get tabled. So he needs to be 100% sure that he's done. But if you were Tom Brady, right, and you just had this presented to you, Jimmy G has a foot issue, and we wrote it into his contract that we can cut him if he has an injury, particularly to his foot, and we have this guy, Davante Adams. Tom, you feel it? How's the arm feeling? Would you explore that, or
go get me DeAndre Hopkins and let's do it?
That would be a heck of a move. That would be a heck of a move. Email number two comes from Sean in Scottsdale, Arizona. What's up, guys? Did I read this right? The Arizona Cardinals cut D-Hop? They really couldn't find a trade partner for him? What are they doing in the desert?
It's a very good question. I'm hearing it had to do a lot with the money he's scheduled to make this season. Nobody wanted to take that on, and they felt like the Cardinals were in a tough spot. I still think it's kind of weird that they couldn't get like a sixth round or a seventh round or no pick for him, right? I mean, I'm still surprised he hasn't signed with Baltimore yet. I don't know how that hasn't happened. Could you imagine that offense? You get Hopkins, you got the kid they just drafted, and then you have Odell. I'm assuming the Titans are going to call him, right? The Falcons, yeah. And I heard Deshaun Watson's going to give him a call too. I mean, I would still think he's a top wide receiver, but it's a bad look when you can't find a trade partner and you wind up getting cut. And yeah. Seriously, and like what the guy said in the emails, what are the Cardinals going to do now? Kyler's not coming back until like week 8 or 9, if he even comes back this season. His jersey's going for like $20 on the NFL shop right now. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is out in the desert.
But how's his Oakland A's jersey doing? Did anybody check to see how Kyler Murray's Oakland A's jersey's working? He's a second baseman, not a quarterback.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the hell they're doing either. Like, frankly, they're
obviously he's thinking. I don't know what he's thinking.
What the hell he's thinking? But you know, they're punting the season. It feels like they're punting because, you know, they don't have their guy. At least they don't think they have their guy. Colt McCoy is going to be the primary starter for a good while. And DeAndre Hopkins didn't really fit, right? Especially now that Jonathan Gannon's out there.
I'm not even sure how healthy he is. You know, if we remember, he got hurt.
He did.
And then he got busted for PEDs, and apparently he was using that to get better. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's also factoring into people's decision not to pick him up as well.
Well, I mean, he's going to have his workout. He's going to have, you know, his line of suitors. The one thing that would scare the shit out of me is if somehow Howie Roseman opened up the couch cushions again and found enough money to bring in DeAndre Hopkins, because like that seems like all Eagles written all over. You know, it's what they do. Like, yeah. I don't understand where they find the goddamn money.
It was the first team I thought about, honestly, too.
It makes absolutely no sense, so it makes perfect sense. Right. Don't need them? No problem. You know, another team, the Rams. They could definitely use somebody. You know, how healthy is Cooper Kupp going to be? We're going to find out. But Matthew Stafford could... Dallas, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup is still recovering from injury. Bring him in. Bring him in. He's definitely worth it.
Come on.
Yeah. I know that D-Hop was being recruited by Deshaun Watson. That's, you know, a little Houston Texans reunion up in Cleveland. You know, why not? How about the Vikings? You know, they lost Adam Thielen.
Just drafted the guy, though.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
This is true.
You can never have enough offense.
Especially when your quarterback is Kirk Cousins.
Right. You know, well,
right.
You know, I like that. I like that a lot. As long as the game is played at 1 o'clock, you're fine. So, you know, D-Hop has his fair share of suitors. Shit, go to Carolina. You can definitely, they got something going on over there. So we're going to see. And depending on the situation, if he's not 100% back, like, he can take his time and rehab a little bit, you know, kind of like Odell. Like, Odell is going to take his sweet ass time and he's going to make sure he's 100% healthy. And I would be intrigued by that union, right? You have Lamar, Odell, with Duvernay, with Hopkins. Like, that would be very interesting to me. But, you know, I don't know. I just don't know if those guys can. I just don't know if they can coexist for the ball. You know, there's one ball. There's still one ball. So, Arizona is just on a road to nowhere. And apparently, they want to get there faster. Good for you guys. Enjoy. Email number 3 comes from Sandra in Santa Rosa, California. Hey guys, Bob Myers resigned as GM and president of the Warriors. Does this officially signal the beginning of the end of the Dubs?
I mean, 100%. There's nothing left to do there. I mean, they're not going to be like the Celtics. You know, we tried to win. We didn't come close. I'm sure Bob Myers didn't want to go through another rebuild, you know? Sure, he's like, let somebody else do this. Like, I won my championships. I'm good. I'll go to LA. I'll go to Phoenix. I'll go somewhere else. I mean, they're not in cap hell, but they've got some decisions they got to make. I don't think they should sign Draymond. I don't think they should sign Clay. Just keep Curry, build around Curry, but it's over. You're going to compete, but I don't see any more championships in their future. This team was horrendous on the road this year. There's nothing to like about this team. And, you know, they're not lights out shooters anymore. You can come back on them.
It has to be, you know. Myers has been GM for 11 years. They went to 6 finals. Right? They brought in Kevin Durant. They lost Kevin Durant. They now have to deal with the Draymond Green situation. Do you let him go? Or do you still try and build to the future while keeping this? The idea of building to the future while maintaining your old core never works. It's either you're all in or you're all out. Either the future is now or you're going to let the ship sink. There's no half-assing it. And when teams try and half-ass it, that's when stuff really gets bad. That's when it really, really goes south. But Mike Dunleavy Jr. is one of the hot candidates. He was the right-hand man of Bob Myers. So we'll see what happens. They got to tear it down. You know,
and that's okay. That's okay. Like, you won. You did it.
It's run its course.
It's it.
Things are allowed to run its course. Things are allowed to run its course. And you know what? If Clay has one more year, I believe, on his contract,
yeah,
see what you can get for him. Draymond Green, don't want to pay him? You don't have to. No. He can go to the Lakers. Let him go to the Lakers.
Yep.
Go get Harrison Barnes for cheaper. You already had Harrison Barnes, but you know what I mean. But you can make moves here to keep Steph if you want him, build up some young players, and kind of reinvigorate the Golden State Warriors. Because they were dragged kicking and screaming to the six. You know, like they won last year, but this year it was not the same. From the Jordan Poole situation all the way on down. Like, drafting Wiseman was a mistake. There have been a lot of missteps in the recent past. And maybe a fresh perspective is needed. And that's okay. You know? Now, call me crazy.
You're crazy.
You haven't heard me yet, but you're going to think I'm nuts. Scott Perry has not been extended with the Knicks. Do the Knicks make a run at Bob Myers?
No.
No?
He doesn't want to come here and deal with this. No way. No way.
I don't know.
I don't know.
If it's like, if he's anything like another GM of recent vintage, a guy like Theo Epstein, right? You embrace the challenge. And you're going
to sound like a Knicks fan.
You're going to embrace that fat paycheck you're going to get. You're going to get a really nice paycheck. So it's within the realm of possibility. And there are many teams that would trip over themselves to get in contact with Bob Myers because they have a lasting pedigree, right? The Golden State Warriors they're an established team now. They are, in reality, one of the big fish. They weren't when Bob Myers took over. They were a nice team, but then they took the next step, and now they're a perennial contender. So that's the magic touch right there. And any team looking to establish themselves, like, I don't know, the Orlando Magic, the Knicks, shit, go to the Clippers. Like, that would be interesting. Let's see if he can ply his craft elsewhere and see if he's up for the challenge that awaits him in other places that don't have Steph, Clay, and Draymond.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. Here's how it goes. We put up a poll on our Twitter account at FadeRouteDNZ, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and the coveted-ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted-ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
It was La Liga fan for the racism and the effigy showed towards Vinny Jr., that can never be tolerated, and you deserve to be called out for your bullshit. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees, D?
All right. First up, I've got Jaylen Brown. 1 for 9 from 3, 8 for 23 from the floor to go along with 19 points. Does this sound like a supermax player to you in a game 7? Jaylen Brown, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, Mike Elias. Cedric Mullins goes on the IL, and your immediate thought is to sign Aaron Hicks. Hicks was just DFA'd by the Yankees because he can't play baseball anymore. Mike Elias, you need a CAT scan to go along with being the alleged superstar of the week. And number 3, I've got DeAndre Hopkins. Arguably one of the best receivers in the game, but he was cut by the Cardinals for nothing. No picks, no players, not even free soda, as Billy Bean would like to say. So, DeAndre Hopkins, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Z, what do you got?
Great choices. There are great choices. You certainly can argue all of them. I'm going to start with the Boston Celtics. Not just Jaylen Brown. I'm going with all
the whole team.
I'm going with the whole enchilada. That whole green mess. To lay an egg like you did after climbing out of that hole. Rip the hearts out of all of your fans. And really illustrated how flawed the team is. We like to say, do better, just do better. From top on down, this whole organization needs to do better. Because it ain't pretty. Boston Celtics, you got some splaining to do. And you are my alleged superstar of the week. Oh, dear. The Dallas Stars. You have an opportunity to stay alive. 6-0. You didn't even show up. It was 4-0 in the first period. I picked up my soda and the game was over. Like, what? What just happened? I don't even know if they know. But that's bad. That's bad. Dallas Stars, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, the state of Texas. Why the state of Texas, you may be asking? Well, did you realize that barbecue is a high school sport in the state of Texas? That's all I gotta say. Are you fucking kidding me? Barbecue? And you have the team members saying it's a great sport because you get to eat what you make afterwards. Coach, I'm going to practice. What are you making? What are we doing? Ribs? Okay. Brisket, salt and pepper. You're in Texas. Nothing more than that. I'm sorry. Barbecue is not a sport. Unless people are going to start hitting each other, then barbecue might be considered a sport. But until then, state of Texas, stick to football. You are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we've said our piece. Go to our Twitter poll at FadeRoute Twitter page, at FadeRouteDNZ, and vote, and vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominee.
Just do better, boys. Just do better.
Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch Apple to Campfire S'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow him on Instagram and Facebook too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give him a call, 845-641-3043, and tell him D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie.
Order up!
We're continuing on with our position-by-position breakdown as we order up.
Order up, order up.
We're ordering up the top five first basemen in the majors right now. From 5 to 1, who you got, D?
All right, listen. Number 5, you're going to laugh. But I just have a soft spot for this guy. He's having a shitty year, but I still like him. And that's Jose Abreu. He's batting .241. He's only got one home run this season, but he's still Jose Abreu. Like, he's still, I think, one of the best first basemen in the league. So Jose Abreu is number 5 for me. Probably realistically, it should be Anthony Rizzo. Number 4, I got Paul Goldschmidt. You know, NL MVP. This year he's slashing .294, .400, and .525 with 10 home runs, 26 RBIs. Can't do a lot worse than that. Can't do a lot better than that, I'd rather say. Number 3, I've got Pete Alonso, your boy. He leads all first basemen with 20 home runs. Number 2, I think this is where we're going to probably be really close to the same. Got Matt Olson, 42 RBI. He leads all first basemen with 38 walks. And number 1... I would be shocked if you have a different number 1 than me, but I got Freddie Freeman. Freddie's absurd, slashing .344, .416, and .589 with 10 home runs. Oh yeah, and he's a phenomenal fielder. What do you got, Z?
All great choices. All great choices. And it's a toss-up, really. If you look at on base, and if you look at OPS, Olson and Vlad Jr. aren't having that dissimilar of a year. And Olson, the RBIs and the homers, Vladdy only has 8 homers, as opposed to the 17 that Matt Olson has.
Right.
So Vladdy would be my 6th, right? If we had a number, if we're doing from 6 to 1. But they're eerily similar. They're eerily similar. And that's why I'm going to put Olson 5.
Whoa.
Olson is 5 this year. Just because batting average, not great. OPS is good. OPS is good, .904. .360 on base. Vladdy is a .355 on base. And he's not doing as well. So it's very close. Very close. I'm just going to put him there. Number 4, Paul Goldschmidt. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, man.
I'm with you on that. Like, he is, you know, he's still the man. He's still good. Mm-hmm. Despite what the hell is going on in St. Louis, Paul Goldschmidt is still showing up to work every day, and he's doing the job. He's doing exactly what you need of him, and his veteran presence is going to help them right the ship, and he's going to, and the St. Louis Cardinals will be there at the end. I'm thoroughly convinced that that will be the case. And it's because of Paul Goldschmidt. The guy has won a friggin' MVP. Right? He's been a runner-up. He's a 4-time gold glover. Like, he's got the pedigree. So, he's number 4. Number 3, Pete Alonso. Improved defense, right? He's saving runs this year. He's doing great defensively. I like what he's doing a lot. Slipping a little bit with OPS, .893 compared to Olson, compared to Goldschmidt, but 20 homers in that Mets lineup that is all of a sudden, there's a lot of holes there. But Pete Alonso still doing the job and doing it well. and he's the catalyst for the Mets' success. Number two, from Queens to the Bronx, Anthony Rizzo.
Whoa, number two.
Number two. 304, 11, 32, 880 OPS, 376 on base percentage, 505 slugging. Anthony Rizzo, he's crushing. He's raking right now. Yes, he's hurt. He got, you know, hyperextended knee due to Mr. Fernando Tatis. He said it was a neck injury. I don't see the neck. I didn't see the neck on the replay. I saw his knee go in when Tatis decided not to slide. So I saw. I thought that was very interesting. But, you know, Rizzo's having a great year. And as usual, stellar defense, great leadership. He's the straw that's stirring the drink, other than Aaron Judge, of course, in the Bronx. And number one, you cannot argue Freddie Freeman. You just can't. 344, 10, 35, 416 on base percentage, 1,006 OPS, 589 slugging. MVP, World Series champ, stud, complete all-around stud. Freddie Freeman is the class of first baseman. But there are definitely guys, as we noted, it's a lot deeper than catcher. We'll put it that way. We'll put it that way. There are more guys that are up and coming that are going to make this more difficult as we move down the road. But for right now, Mr. Freeman, he is the man at first.
This has been the Fade Route with D&Z. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route, but we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.